Hi, and welcome to episode 11 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars and Stalkerville, and as always, joining me for the ongoing road trip across the land of indie comics are writer, artist, and creator of the ongoing superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who consumes comics like Galactus consumes planets is Tony Esmond.
Only kidding.
Oh, God. Oh, dear.
Wow.
Oh,
little inside joke for you there.
Yeah. The listeners might not be privy to that, but...
Yeah.
It's gonna we'll be okay. Know and it'll be funny for us.
Yeah, that's true. That's what nobody listens anyway, it'll be fine.
As you can tell, folks, we have another special guest on this week, and it's our pleasure to introduce her now. She is the writer, artist, and creator of the Vespa-riding, pug-dog-starring, time-travel adventure comic, The Heart of Time. It's Sarah Millman. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. Hey,
Sarah. Welcome.
All right, nice to be here.
Yeah.
So I sound a little bit mental from that introduction. It's got Vespas and pugs and, a little bit
What did Leo last week say? She said you sound like you're doing a wrestling intro or something.
Yeah.
I feel like I should come out with theme music.
Oh, yeah. Totally should.
Some kind of like, yeah. Woo, yeah!
That's good. As you can tell, we've got a proper diva on this week. You know, she's the request she's given us for like blue M&Ms and things like that. It's disgraceful. We've never had
brown
a
brown M&M actually.
But, oh my god!
I'm sorry.
Anyway, like all those poor souls before us, Sarah is going to be with us for the entirety of this week's show, and we're going to be talking up some Heart of Time goodness, all in good time. See what I did there? Brought in time twice. Nice. Right now, though, let's find out what we've all been reading and or doing this week. Mr. Esmond, go.
Well, funny you should mention brown M&Ms, because I've had to wear brown trousers all week because I ate a chili for a bit of work.
What did you win? Did you win the bet?
Yeah, well, I ate it. I didn't win anything. They just sort of dared me. I've got a sort of reputation at work for doing stupid things, like the cinnamon challenge. Has anyone seen that?
Oh, God.
No.
Yeah.
Where you can eat cinnamon. You can't actually eat it sort of, because it's so dry and it comes out your nose. And I spent all day saying, I'll fucking do that. I don't care. I eat cinnamon. Easy. And then I did it and then I shit myself. And then this week, they decided that they'd bet I wouldn't eat this hot chili. And I did. And it made me feel a bit, my tummy feels weird. So I don't know. I think I'll be all right. Make it through.
Maybe it's mixing with the cinnamon.
Might be. Oh, God. That's a worry, isn't it? It might explode. And then... Today I'm watching Escape Plan with Sylvester Stallone and 50 Cent. They're in it. That's quite good.
Which isn't too bad.
It takes them about an hour to have a conversation, Sly Stallone and 50 Pence, because they can't really...
50
Pence! but comics-wise, I've had a busy week. Wednesday was Mike Medaglia's launch for 1 Year Wiser, which was very good. I saw someone there wearing a bowler hat. He was a sort of hipster guy. And then, and just some shout-outs from that was David Ziggy Green, who's top bloke, Gareth Brooks I met there, we talked about last week, and Catriona Chapman. I didn't spend enough time with her because she sort of had to go inside, but she was a good laugh.
Nice.
And then on Friday was Rachel Smith's Rabbit Book London launch. I know she's done it in the north of England, but I don't go there, so I didn't go to that one.
Was it full of trendy Londoners?
Cool people, yeah. In fact, fucking hell, I'll tell you what, the bloke had a bowler hat on at Wednesday's event, turned up at Friday's event wearing a cowboy hat, and I shit you not, that is true story.
Amazing.
What a wanker.
Why, just because he's got a collection of hats?
Yeah, he had this huge cowboy hat on.
He's probably really proud of that.
Probably is. Okay. Hope he doesn't listen. He might be proud of
it. He's got a selection.
Catch him crying.
Yeah. So I met there, Rachel, I had a good chat with her. She's really nice. Ricky Miller and Dave White. Who are top blokes, and had a good laugh with them. Yesterday I met with Chris Sides and Chris Travell from Redshift Press, and they did Dark Matter, which was in your humble bundle, wasn't it, I think, Vince?
It was, which is a digital comics bundle. It's not anything untoward.
Yeah. Our guests just went, ooh.
Many people have heard about my humble bundle. Anyway, carry on.
So humble.
I'm humble about my bundle.
Yeah, so good chat with them. You can get them at Redshift Press on Twitter. Very good guys. They've got a few things coming out. And also this week, most exciting part of the week is all three of us got to be in Dan's comic.
Woo!
Yay! Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. Thanks, Dan.
Pop up in the panel with me. Yeah, no probs. Good shit out. That's a good little kind of weird thing where all three of us kind of like join together to become one horrible sort of monster kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like a big sexy monster.
Hairy.
Yeah, but no, it's a cracking page. So yeah, nice.
Yeah,
with that.
Very good. Yeah, how you been, Dan? You been all right?
Yeah, not too bad. It's pretty good. You know, it's been a bit of a hellish week. I couldn't make on the Friday because I've got so much work to do.
Yeah,
it's a bit hardcore, but I'm really pissed off that I missed it out. But I'll nip up there and grab the rabbit at some point.
Yeah, there'll be some signed copies, I think. Left side stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She had a huge queue. So Medaglia's launch just was packed out into the street, and hers was the same. So if anyone's been to Orbital, it queues all the way. You know, it's a long old shop, and it queued all the way out the door. Yeah, impressive stuff. Yeah,
it's a really long shop. It's really massive. If you look at the front, you think there's not much to it, but it goes back so far.
Yeah, it takes 50 minutes to walk the length of it.
Grow up, Sarah. Come on.
Is this?
Oh, seriously, you read into it. Come on.
Yeah.
I kind of got on my ranting bit yesterday on Twitter about what I kind of call internet entitlement, where essentially people they claim ownership of stuff on the net just because it's free and you're sending out death threats to creators. There's a creator we know on the show, and they've been sent death threats essentially for how they've treated the character. And it's just like, you're kind of, it's absolutely crazy doing stuff like that. And I made the kind of analogy that you're Annie Wilkes out of Misery, because you don't like the way the writer's handling your character, and you're threatening them. It's just ludicrous. It's really bad. And we had the incident earlier in the week as well with. Is it John Cullen?
John Cullen, yeah. John Cullen, who I've mentioned previously on the show for two brilliant books. The Dogs That Shot Lasers Out of His Face, which is worth picking up. But I noticed on Twitter this week, I hope you don't mind us mention this, John. He had an issue where there was a Facebook sort of group, I think, people that make memes, you know, the internet sort of meme things. They had basically just taken some of his work. He does like daily sort of comics that you can just go on, and it's a different strip every time. Really good stuff. And people have just taken his artwork, put them into these memes, and then just post it on their Facebook page. You know, they're getting an extra 20,000 hits or something like that from it. And he's had absolutely no, you know, there's no credit given to him whatsoever. No. And
I think they might also be stripping out his web, like his details on it as well.
His
signature.
Yeah. So when he found out, when he found out, he got in touch with them. You know, he didn't blow his top whatsoever. He was a proper gentleman about it and just sort of said, look, you know, I understand you do this. Could you, you know, if you're going to use something, could you put a credit or put a link in, you know, some sort of... And he basically just got told, you know, stuff you.
He did, in worse language as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm being the clean one on this episode. Yeah, and he was just told, like, uncategorically, you know, you're lucky we use your work.
It wasn't just once, was it? It was like they sent...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They sent, like, a succession of messages after that, just berating him.
Yeah.
For just a courtesy of kind of dropping his name into his own work. The indignity of it.
Yeah.
How dare you ask me to give you credit for your own work?
And it's treating it like, you know, you should be grateful we use your work. You know, I think they use Titans in the meme game. That's one of the things they said, which I just thought, is there such a thing?
I want to be a Titan in the meme game, and I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's not even like exposure. Like, if you haven't got your details on it, how are they ever going to find you? It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
You know, you should be grateful. Yeah. No one can find where this comes from.
I went down that Facebook thing of kind of like, you look at a link and you think, I want to report this. And the only options it gives you is to contact the people to say, you don't like this, or this is mine, take it down. That's hardly kind of...
Yeah, I think he did get a reply from Facebook, though, didn't he? I think he reported it to Facebook, and then he posted the reply they gave.
Oh, what did they say?
That was like a day later or something, I think, if you have a look through the... Yeah, I don't know where you found it. I don't know where you find it on Facebook. I don't understand it, you know. But
you just about understand Google.
I understand Tinder.
Yeah. Well, John put up a brilliant cartoon kind of response, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Instead of one of his, he normally it's just a page comic, but one day instead of doing the jokes or like the art, the sort of surreal art that he puts on there, he put a 2-page just sort of strip just talking about artist credit. Now it wasn't having a go at anyone, you know. There's no name dropping, you know. He's done it really well. I'll post a link to it on the show, but it's well worth checking out. I mean, you should check out all of John's work anyway, you know. And he's got both like 2 140-page books available on Gumroad that you can buy for $1 and up. Do you know what I mean? So you should definitely go to gumroad.com/NHOJ and get his books because they're brilliant stuff. And like, you know, he's just had a bit of a shit time of it this week. So we love you, John. So
I've got to say, that cartoon he put up perfectly summed up my visual image of the bloke on the other end sitting on the internet as well.
Yeah. Who's actually got a T-shirt that says Meme Titan. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's meme.
It's so frustrating, but, like, what can you do? I you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here, you know. I'm not...
Yeah.
In this world
where I don't know.
Everyone's got a voice and, like, you know...
And the internet's such a difficult place to have an argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So anonymous.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
people
also,
can drop in and out.
Yeah. It's so hard to be, you know, to get your whole point out without them going, yeah, but you smell. And you having to, oh, fuck, yeah. You know,
just like playing devil's advocate is the, like, most polite way to, you know...
Yeah.
If you had a conversation with these people face-to-face, I'm sure it 9 times out of 10... it'd work out fine because you'd kind of be able to interact as kind of humans should do, and you'd be able to kind of just work out the differences exactly and change it or else.
But have you seen, do you know Troll Face? Obviously the meme of the troll
Tony?
Face.
Tony, I love you.
Did you know that the meme of the troll face is actually copyrighted and he's chased people up about it? So you could...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can't use troll face and stuff. He doesn't ask for payment, he just asks for acknowledgement.
And that's exactly it. This is exactly what John was saying. It's not like saying, pay me, I deserve all this money, etc., etc.
Yeah.
It's just, look, if you're going to use someone else's work... I mean, he puts in his book... I've got a page here in front of me. The problem with this is that the majority of those clicks and shares don't convert to an extra boost to my readership. Every single new reader I gain is so important, and such pages take that away by not crediting creators. You know,
yeah, it's well put, isn't it?
Yeah, he's taking away, you know, he's not asking for money, but it's taking away what he should get, which is, like, you know, people checking out his work and stuff.
Yeah, the thing for me as well is it really shows that you can sort of kind of hide away and not put up with stupid people on the internet. I mean, there are, if you try looking at YouTube comments, there's a lot of fucking stupid people out there, aren't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Jesus, where do these people live? You know, I understand people like that. But yeah, there's a lot of people, and sometimes they put their head up and you think, oh my God, there's so many stupid people out there. But because we sit there and we talk to creators and comic fans and each other and stuff, you know, we don't do too badly until that little sort of crevice is opened up and out they climb, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's the majority of this community that we're all part of is absolutely fantastic and support, especially in the small press. Yeah. Everyone's supporting each other. Mm. You know, it sometimes it just takes like
Mike Garley, don't you?
Mike Garley. Mike Garley.
We love Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. All it takes is a couple of people that have never met any of these creators, just, you know, clicking on it. We talked about that website, didn't we? Wasn't it? There was a website that was taking people and doing prints.
Oh, yeah.
It's a similar sort of thing. You fighting against it, you're almost pissing in the wind, aren't you, really? But something has to be said whenever things like this happen, just so that if anything, when things like this happen, John, we're getting your name out. Do you know what I mean? You've had a shit time of it, but people need to check out your work. And
it's like when do you remember when Ashley Madison got caught out and they all their... No, it's a really weird comparison, but Ashley Madison got caught out and all they put their names out. Do you remember? Their business has now gone up.
Has it?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? And I like to think that hopefully from the little bit of shit that John's had, sadly, you know, that his business will go up and people will pay more attention to him, you know? So it's fuck Titan's a meme. They've actually done him a favour by being idiots, you know.
Yeah, because there's been lots of artists, you know, we're not highlighting something that no one knows about. There have been artists that have posted this on Facebook and Twitter and stuff and just getting the word out. So, you know, hopefully we can as well, John.
And don't get the Vanguard on your back because it'll kill you.
Oh, yeah. He's a feisty tart, is Dan Butcher.
I've rained it in today. I'm going to get a lot more patriotic.
One of our listeners did say, didn't he, Dan? In fact, it was Lambing, wasn't it? We went for a bite to eat with him. He says, I love it when you have a rant, Dan.
Ooh, happy yeah. little rant.
In fact, when we invited Sarah on, it was like, by the way, buckle up, because Dan's in a feisty mood.
It'll be a little bit of rantage.
Yeah.
But even, Sarah, I noticed like on the Heart of Time, you put your copyright on all of the pages. Presumably that's like your ownership. So if anyone does try
it's
that,
it's a little bit lax, to be honest. The later ones, maybe I shouldn't open myself up to this, but the later ones I haven't so much. Because really, you publish something online, it's pretty much implicit that it's got copyright on it because you published it. But I should be
anyone
a bit
can grab
stringent.
It if, you know what I mean? If someone really wants to do it, they can. There's very little to stop them.
There's a really good website, actually. Sorry, I'm like talking over everyone. Sorry.
That's what we do.
If there's like if you're quite a small artist, I don't know if it's still running, but it's called You Thought We Wouldn't Notice. And that's quite good because a lot of my illustration friends have got like patterns and stuff stolen by big, you know, t-shirt companies and stuff. It's basically just a big community, and some of them are lawyers, and they're like, okay, this is what you can do, and this is how you chase people up about it.
Fantastic.
So even if you haven't got like a following, you know, because that's the thing, half the time they can get away with it if you haven't got a following because no one notices.
Okay, it's interesting.
I know someone who's kind of teaches furniture design, and then whenever the students have a new show, they know the same people that come around from like the big chains and look at all the designs. And it's like, what can you do? It's outrageous.
Cheeky.
Yeah, very cheeky.
So, Tony's been wandering the streets of London. Dan's been getting angry. And I read a comic.
Oh, I've read as well. Come back to me. Yeah.
Oh, you did as well. No, you go first.
Yeah, you go first, mate. No, you go first.
No, you go first.
Right, not normally this nice. This is made up. okay, so I'll go on then. This is the one I've been waiting to do for a couple of weeks, actually, because I love this book. And I had a chat with Dean the other day about it. Random Trials, its first two issues. Anyone read it at all?
No,
not read that one.
Random Trials by Dean Beattie. It's I have to say, it's the one comic, if I ever have, you know, when you're like, oh, you read comics, you know, do robots draw them? You know, you meet members of the public who don't understand what comics are, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the one that you can give them.
Disney.
Sorry?
Is that what you do? Is it like Disney?
Yes.
No.
Robots do that. Yeah. this is the one that I always give out, and it's Random Trials, and it's basically a story of there's a big pharmaceutical company that's been carrying out sort of secret trials in a part of London that result in various people. It starts with a guy called Charlie Cooper who discovers he gets superpowers and can breathe fire and all this sort of thing. And slowly as it unfolds, you see that different people get sort of just bizarre powers. There's one guy who little people jump out of his tummy and stuff. And it's all set on a sort of the start of it is set on a chav infested sort of London council estate. And it starts off with a sort of group of sort of thugs, hooligans, trying to rob Charlie. And he goes sort of crazy and sort of burns them to death and decapitates them and all this sort of thing. And but it's got the best. It sounds dark, but it's actually really funny. I mean, they walk up to him and tell him they want his phone and all that. And he says, look, I don't understand what you're saying, you know, but I sort of get the sense that I'm in trouble. And it sort of takes us from there. And it becomes a bit of a sort of road movie where they're sort of chasing him. Couple of shady government characters and the sort of shady characters are associated with sort of pharmaceutical company chase him across the country, and different creatures arrive. And he's just kickstarted the third issue, which I think was funded in 8 hours.
Ooh,
did really well.
Wow.
Yeah, he did the sensible thing. He's drawn it. He's set the Kickstarter to pay for printing, and he's gone from it from there. And I've read the third issue. He showed me the originals at DemonCon a few weeks ago, and it is absolutely brilliant. And it ends on possibly the best moment I've seen in an indie comic for a long time. And it's got the best dialogue in it. Stuff like bum face, one of them calls the other one, and he says, if your stupid face hadn't exploded, my car wouldn't be in a million pieces. And stuff like this, just sort of real sort of practical, sort of, you know, spins. It's, I'm going to describe, if it was a TV series, it'd be somewhere between The X-Files, The Comic Strip Presents, Derek and Clive, The Mighty Boosh and Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. If you start
amazing, mix them amazing. All up
together.
This so bad.
It's so lovely. It's just brilliant. It's got sort of social commentary. It's got humour, loads of action, and the art. If anyone's seen Dean's work, go to www.deanbeattie.com, and you can find him on Twitter at Dean Beattie. And he's got this sort of big body, small sort of thin arms, sort of humorous, really nicely coloured. style about him. He's always at conventions. He's going to be, I think he's at Leamington. He's a guest at Nottingham. He does loads of conventions. Where else? I saw him at Demon Con last. And he's got loads of prints and stuff like that. Like just, and there's just little jokes thrown in, like one character who allegedly is not based on how I look, so don't draw any sort of inference into that, but there's a rumour going around. And he's standing in, he's in Manchester, and he's standing in, has anyone been to Canal Street in Manchester?
No.
Anyone? No, Canal Street's the sort of, old Compton Street in Manchester, really, the sort of, the gay district, I suppose. And the name of the street is Canal Street, and all the locals think it's hilarious. All the regulars in the pubs across out the sea. So there's little sort of jokes thrown in like that as you go along, and it's just so funny, really, really funny stuff. It's just sort of
known Dean through.
Sorry, mate.
I've known Dean through Pencil Jack, like, and he's posted work over there over the years, and his style is amazing. It's not what I'd immediately associate with comic book work. When you see it done, it's just brilliant. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's
really good.
Guy, if you get him and his wife judge our shit comic of the year competition we have every year at Thought Bubble, and they just laugh at us, the crap that we managed to pull out from the darker days of Image and all this sort of thing, you know. But yeah, no, well worth a look. Like I say, DeanBeattie.com, or follow him at DeanBeattie on Twitter.
So you can get the issues from his website then.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, if you go through Dean Beattie, there's a link to buying them. Yeah.
Awesome. I'll be doing that then.
Cool.
Right, my book. It's one I discovered through Chris Lackey, one of our past guests,
okay.
Via his Kickstarter. His failed Kickstarter for Trans Reality 2, which is a big shame.
Yeah.
He sent a message to a lot of people just saying, like, you know, thanks for the support. You should check this out. And one of them was this a graphic novel, which has been Kickstarted, called Our Friend Satan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Have you heard about this?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. It's an 80-page graphic novel that they're working on now. The first 17 pages are available to read for free online, which is what I did, because I thought, oh, you know, it was presented really nice as well, very professionally. By three Polish creators, I believe. Dominik Marzek is the writer, and Luka Lalko and Mikhail Morawski are the art. And I'm sorry if I absolutely obliterate your names there. Yeah, and it tells the story of basically Satan, you know, the Prince of Lies, Lord of All Evil. He's basically going through a midlife crisis. Yeah, he's just going through a midlife crisis. It starts, the first scene is there's a bunch of cultists performing a ritual to bring Satan forth from hell, you know, and they've all got like skull masks, and it's all very dramatic. But when he turns up, he's nothing like you imagined. For one, he's a proper grumpy bastard. And he's also not a big, like, horned, monstrous figure. He's a bold, scrawny little fella who wanders around in his bathrobe, just basically being a curmudgeon. I think he's got a plate of spaghetti bolognese when they bring it forth. And he's like, what do you want? Well, I was just there to watch the football game.
Poof, what do you need? Poof.
Yeah, the larger... Yeah. And that's basically, you know, this little 17-page sort of introduces that. As soon as that happened, I thought, oh, brilliant, I'm in. This is, you know, very much the humour that I go for. The larger story involves him suing the Catholic Church for defamation of character, because he's basically just fed up of how he's been portrayed, like, all of these years. You know, because he's like, I'm not really like that, you can't do that. And he decides to sue them. And it's got a little sci-fi spin to it too, because, of course, you see the Pope, who's like a faceless figure, if you know what I mean. You never see his face in this preview. He's sitting there and he reads an article about him basically being sued, but he lives in a space station hovering above the Earth. So I'm sure there'll be more going in. The Vatican's now in space, so there's a bit of sci-fi going into it as well.
Bit of an upgrade to the Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
Hello. Amazing.
Maybe it's like a bit of social commentary. They're being completely detached from the world at large. And
yeah.
Oh, check you out, Butcher. Me, I just thought, oh, space. Yeah,
well, actually,
so, I think you find it's a very interesting social commentary on the Vatican.
Was that your dad impression?
My dad impression comes with more F words. it's a great little story. I mean, like I say, they're working right now because the Kickstarter got funded completely. And they put the first 17 pages up for free to read on their website, which if you go to www.ourfriendsatan.com, which is brilliant. They've also got a Facebook page, /Our Friend Satan. So definitely add them up and check this out.
Have you guys to down the tubes and searched for our friend Satan. I did a bit of an interview with the guy a few weeks ago.
What were they like?
I just fired the email, but he was talking to me a bit about the fact that it was actually going to be a film project at the start, and it started off as a series of sort of storyboards and stuff, and they liked it so much they thought, this is looking like a comic, let's go for it.
Because they're actually doing a 30-minute short film as well, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
As well as the graphic novel, which I think is being, cool. Because it was so successful and stuff, I think they're aiming for like a trilogy of graphic novels.
Right.
So there's a bigger story to tell.
It's lovely art.
Yeah.
The art's really clean. I mean, it's real pro quality to me. You know, you could easily see this as an image book or something. Yeah. I have to say, John and I were really excited about it, and both were like bigging it up nonstop. Yeah. Really
and
nice stuff.
It doesn't jump, because like when you deal with Satan and like, you know, those, the Catholic Church and things. I mean, Garth Ennis has done a lot of it in like in his books Wormwood from Avatar
Preacher as well. Mm.
Yeah. And I love that stuff, but there's a lot of some of it's like real shock sort of tactics or value. You know, the jokes are very shocking and stuff. This one doesn't have that so much. It feels like it's got a very British humour to it. Do you know what I mean?
It does actually. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And there's nice little touch, like the Pope's got a badge that says "Evil always loses." You know,
it's a bit like the Kevin Smith stuff, isn't it? It's a bit like, is it Dogma? You know?
Yeah.
It's a bit, it reminded me a bit of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's better than that. I don't mind Dogma, but I prefer this. So check out Our Friend Satan, which could also just be a general thing we say on every show.
that's not a special
check
name.
Our Friend Satan.
I've just got involved in doing an art swap for Halloween, and the name they're talking about doing is Secret Satan. So quite like that idea.
Okay. Nice.
That's good.
I'll try that. Sarah, what have you been reading and or doing this week?
Oh, well, we did Ice, didn't we? Birmingham. That was last weekend.
We did. How did you find it? I briefly rabbited on about my experiences, but no one listened.
No one listened.
Was that?
it was good. It was compared to last year, I thought it was better, but then last year was really quiet.
I hadn't experienced the first year. It was my first year doing it.
But did you think it was quite quiet then? Because comparatively, it was better.
There was a good sort of a lot of people moving around. It didn't necessarily convert.
Yeah.
It didn't necessarily convert to small press sales, for instance. Mm. But there was a lot of people milling about. Being on the three floors, I don't know whether that helped or hindered it. You know,
it was a bit weird. I didn't know whether I was escaping or innovating, or like all the rooms had really weird names didn't really say what floor they were on. So it was like, I need to escape. A little bit awkward, I think, in terms of like, you know, organizing the space. They could have been a bit better, but it was a nice vibe and there were really nice people there, and it was, you know, trying their best, and hopefully next year it'll be even better.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good.
It only been running 2 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless I dreamt it. in which case...
That'd be a bit more scary.
...or everything I've just said. But hopefully they'll do it again next year. But apart from that, I've been reading. I got something from Kickstarter today that I completely forgot about, shamefully. But when
it
arrived...
It's shameful, but at the same time you're like, yay!
Nice surprise.
Yeah. Awesome! But... it's called Silicon Heart, and it's by Sam Rhodes and Kat Nicholson. And they actually, I think Kat Nicholson went to the same uni as me. Just going to drop that in there. But it's really nice. It's kind of, if you've watched Humans, it's like a softer, nicer version of Humans. So it's more kind of like it's a romance between a human and android, but it's like set in Wales. And yeah, it's really nice. And I hope it continues. There's just the first issue they've released so far.
But they kickstarted all four, didn't they? Didn't they kickstart all four issues?
Did you all four? I think,
I thought it was all four. I'm pretty sure the Kickstarter, so there are three more.
Does that mean I'm going to get three more?
Unless you just pledge for one issue.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to let that out now.
I've seen Sam about the conventions. I've yet to pick up Silicon Heart, so it's well worth checking out then.
Yeah, definitely. It's really, especially if like, because, you know, coming from the same kind of area, there's a lot of like nice little Welsh nods, but it's not so like, you know, it's not quite alienating to anyone who isn't from Wales. It's just, you know, if you're familiar with it, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Cool.
And, nice.
Yes, I would recommend. But yeah, apart from that, I think that's all I've been reading, to be honest. Just doing boring non-comics work, to be honest.
It's rubbish, that, isn't it?
We're kind of thrown into what you do. Like, on your site, there's a lot of links to your portfolio. And you've got, like, game stuff there, illustration. Mm. So presumably you kind of do a lot of other stuff aside from comic work.
Well, I have done. I'm trying to focus more on my comic stuff at the moment. But, yeah, I did work in games for a little bit for a little indie studio doing picture books and things. There's, like, giraffes dressed up as cows and really weird things.
Well, no one's going to learn anything from that, are they?
What? What? Cow?
The world's gone mad. Giraffe?
What? But, and I help organise games events in Wales. And that's quite fun. They're doing a jam at the moment, which happily I don't have to be at the moment.
What sort of games events? What games events?
Like games industry stuff. So nothing massive, but it's like the Wales Games Development Show I helped to organise.
Okay.
And it's just all the companies in Wales coming together and showing off their stuff.
Oh, brilliant.
Today, I had very little organisation to do, which is great, for the games jam that's in Cardiff at the moment. So for 48 hours, they've got to make a game. Just, it's like the 24-hour comics challenge, but with games. And they're doing it now, and I don't have to... I'm really grateful that I don't have to make anything or stay awake for 48 hours.
You're sat in a dark room with a headset on and a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Talking to three weirdos.
Yeah, talking about brown trousers.
So when this actually comes out, they might still be making it, or is it today?
They're still making it. Oh, no, they'll finish at 4 o'clock today. Oh, okay. So if you're Sunday, so... You know.
Right. So what, will people be able to play the game once it's done? Or
possibly. Well, there's lots of little ones. So, you know, it all depends on what they're coming up with. But you can see what they're doing on Facebook at the moment. There's like a hashtag. It's like GWGJ2. And if you like search for that on Facebook and Twitter, there's lots of people going, hey, this is what I'm making. Cool. So
they need to get on with it, not get off Twitter, to be honest.
God.
Stop mucking about Twitter. Get on with it.
Yeah. You got 48 hours. Chop chop.
Sweatshop full of people who smell of it.
Well, I was there at the beginning. I went there. It started at like 6 on Friday, and I was there then. I dread to think I've got to be there at 4, and I dread to think what it's like degenerated in. Like people brought sleeping bags and stuff, and they're all going to be like all pale.
God,
we've made drunk this thing.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Sunlight.
I've got a 24-hour comic. Has anyone of you guys done one? Or
I have. I'm intrigued by the concept, but also
terrified.
I become a really irritable wanker if I don't get my sleep. So like,
have you not slept for 10 weeks then, Dan?
when you become a parent, you realise that sleep like is just you're not getting that a lot. I'm generally holding back like a huge wave of I want to go to sleep.
Oh,
my boy's about to head to university, so for the last 3 years, he doesn't get up before noon. So it's quite
I look forward to those days. It's I'll be in that annoying dad that comes in at 8 a.m. So, you're not up yet.
I'm gonna be annoying dad who goes and tries to go clubbing with him in Freshers Week.
I'm a cool dad.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, do you like Genesis?
Oh dear. Anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, off Sarah. Topic
massively there.
We were talking about our real lives then. Sarah, we got you on here to talk about The Heart of Time. Now, as always, I ask creators the same question every time. The Heart of Time, pitch it to us.
Oh, does that mean I have to do my convention pick?
Oh, yes.
Pitch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's about a girl who steals her dad's time machine, doesn't know how to control it, and is crashing from time to time trying to find a way back. And she's travelling with a pug, and her time machine is a Vespa.
Cool.
And then, that's how I usually pitch it. And there's also this Victorian guy called Arthur who she crash lands on, ruining his proposal to his girlfriend, or his... and ruins everything, and...
That's how it starts.
Creates chaos, and that's how it starts.
It starts from there, and then... Amelia, She's quite a feisty hero character, isn't she? Yeah.
A little bit angry.
So how did you come up with this concept?
Well, I did a course in illustration a couple of years ago, and while I was on it, we had to develop loads of different ideas, and I actually came up with the idea of a Victorian time traveller, which I'm sure has been done before, but I just like the idea of taking people from certain timelines and placing them in completely different ones and just seeing how they're going to react. And it kind of just all escalated from there. So I can't really say there was like one thing that inspired me to do it apart from, and I apologise to everyone in advance, but getting a little bit annoyed at Doctor Who.
Hooray! Finally, sorry. Someone agrees with me.
And then then loads of people angrily switch off the podcast. Like, shut up!
Because that starts again this Saturday, doesn't it? That series just winds me up.
Yeah, I so hope Capaldi's going to be good. I like him, but
I love him. He's so good in the thick of it, and I really want. It's one of those things I really want to like it. It's not like I'm going in saying this is going to be shit and I hate it. Like I actually want to like it, and I just can't because the fandom is so good and people love it, and I'm just like, I just can't. There's just little things like the fact that Russell T. Davis has actually said he writes himself into a corner and doesn't know, you know, so I just write myself into a corner and then try and figure out how to end things. You can see that. I want, and it just
all the time.
I want Capaldi to say stuff that he said in the thick of it, so I want him to come out with things like come the fuck in or fuck off. I want to hear him say that.
There is like talking about memes earlier, there is a meme of him standing outside the TARDIS like come the fuck in or fuck the fuck off.
Someone, when it was first announced, somebody cut together a trailer was fat the thick of it into Doctor Who, and that was brilliant.
Yeah,
that's just brilliant.
And trying to explain Star Wars. What are they? Hairdressers? What are they? Wheelie bins? Why is one a bin? Are they made of Lego? You know that one.
Oh dear. So Doctor Who in part inspired the Heart of Time, is that what we're learning?
Yeah. Though that sounds really pretentious when I say that, when it's like when you say it like that, but
kind of. Sorry.
You saw what Doctor Who did wrong and you were like, I can do this better, and then
that's kind of what I mean by pretentious, to be honest, because it was just me getting annoyed and getting really frustrated, so it wasn't really like I could do this better. It was just kind of just,
and also yours doesn't deal with aliens and wheelie bins with lasers
with things stuck on
Well, what's really great is like when she's jumps back to meet Arthur, or is in Arthur's time period, kind of the detailing and what you've done with kind of like the surroundings, it's really evocative of that period. So I think you've done really well there. And again, whenever they're jumping through the time periods, there's a real kind of sense of what time they're in, which is great.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of not just. Seems like you actually paid attention to the fashions and what it'd be like, and that's really great stuff.
Was there quite a lot of research then you did when?
Yeah, there was quite a bit, but especially like I'm noticing things now because I've gone on a lot of people's blogs who are actually like historical fashion designers, and there are little things that I keep coming across and going, oh shit. Arthur's collar shouldn't be attached. That's really annoying. And now I keep going back over it because, you know, I had to set it up for the volume and stuff. I was like, oh, no. So chapter 5, I'm going back to that period again, which is nice because I'm getting a bit more Gibson girly and, you know, having a, you know, seeing what Letty's up to at the moment. So that
it's
should
like,
be.
On Arthur's shirt, it's like an off yellow. It's not white.
Yeah.
Little things like that kind of that people wouldn't pick up on, but it's very kind of it tells you what you need to know.
Yeah, because it's kind of that kind of waistcoat, it was supposed to be kind of a more dinner kind of jacket, but seeing as he's quite poor, it was fine. You know, I think I can get away with it as it is, hopefully. But it's more the case of like I did tons of research beforehand, and then looking back on it now I can start to see all the mistakes. So it's like, oh no, like I don't think you can ever with stuff like time travel and things like that, unless you've got like a massive team of people, you're never gonna catch everything. It's just you know, unless you are a crazy historian who knows everything, which I'm not. So yeah.
And the thing is, once you've done it, you just got to keep moving forward, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you'll never get. You would have never got issues done.
No. I still want to go back and redo a lot of it, but you just have to like chain yourself to what you're doing now and just think, nope, It's printed. It's done.
Yeah. Don't do the George Lucas. Yeah. Go back and tamper.
Yeah.
Don't do anything George Lucas at the moment. No. If you're going to do, you know, if you feel like doing a George Lucas, do a George Lucas now and give it to someone else.
Nice.
I just have a feeling like maybe 10, 15 years down the line, we're going to have just all come together and say, let's just retcon the prequels. Just get rid of them.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have in their minds. I think.
Yeah. You
know, yeah, they might do the same to Escape Plan with Sylvester Stallone.
Not enough. People, not enough people have seen it and or give a shit about it, Tony.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but now
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, no. Really? Sounds amazing. Is it one of those things that is like so shit it's great, or is it's just a bit like really that. Bad?
No, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I've got a question. Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. The story. I read a quote on your website that says the story is. In fact, I think you told us at Down the Tubes this. The story is about trying to undo past mistakes.
Oh yeah. Yes.
So what past mistakes would you like to undo? There you go. That's a question.
Nice question.
Oh god, that opens a can of worms, doesn't it? Oh, bless the hell.
She's probably coming on this podcast. Is one of them.
I've got them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no.
Don't forget that's a given.
Wake up this morning. Yeah. No. To be honest, I'm quite a stubborn person, which is quite, you know, because I actually went, I did a course in film and television studies for 2 weeks at Warwick. Mm. And it was like completely academic. And I got there and literally the second day and I was like, I made a mistake. Totally made a mistake. I'm dropping out. So I'm so like, I don't know. I'm quite a stubborn person. So when I make a mistake, it's always just like, nope. And make a lot more mistakes in trying to get out of it. So I think really, yeah, the whole thing, the story of Park Time is basically like, shit happens. Don't try and fix things. I think that's kind of the message that I'm going to get across eventually. Because, you know, a lot of the time, fixing things, you're just going to make more trouble.
You've got this whole thing planned out, haven't you?
Yes, I have. To be honest, initially I did think it's one of those things that I've got to the stage where each chapter, you know, you can put all these characters in different situations and basically make it a bit longer if you want and have like, you know, because the idea of these three and Pug characters going from timeline to timeline, you know, you could keep doing that for a while, a bit like Avatar and things. But really, I think I'm going to keep it more concise at the moment. And, you know, I've got the main timeline planned out. So I think I'm just going to stick to that, to be honest.
So have you got like a point you're heading to with a story like that? That's the end point and everything's converging on that. Because a lot of people don't work like that. But I find it's crazy not to. But
even if it's just vague.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's vague, you don't have to have it planned down to the kind of minute detail. But
no, because I just think if I didn't have that, it would just fall apart. And I think a lot of you know, people starting off in webcomics, it's just like, here's a situation, and then they don't do anything with it, and it just kind of like trails out, really. But I think if you have a point to work towards, it just keeps you a bit more focused, I suppose. But that's just the way I feel about it, I suppose.
I agree, yeah.
Mm.
So what made you decide to go the webcomic route with it? I know you've got printed versions as well, but did it start as a webcomic first?
Yeah, I actually did it. This is incredibly nerdy. I did it as part of my master's. And so the whole... Basically, for my master's, I did the conceptualization and pitched the whole idea of it being a webcomic. It was just simply because it was a lot easier to publish and just because you can send it to people and people can share it a lot more easily if it's all online. Yeah. And initially, I thought, you know, if I've published it all online, are people going to want to buy the print versions? But I think majority of the time, most people I who read it do want to read it in print. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah,
I think it was just ease of publishing, to be honest. You know, I wish I could say it was a bit more artistic, but more of an artistic choice. But no, it's just because it was easy to publish.
Do you get a lot of people coming and buying the hard copy who've read the web version and vice versa? Do people?
Yeah,
they come back to you.
Yeah, they do. Especially people who follow me on Twitter and Facebook and things like that. It's mainly because they think. It's kind of the idea of selling it in print as well is because it supports the comic as a whole. So if you buy it in print, you know, it will fund keeping the website up or, you know, keeping it, basically keeping it going. So, yeah, I think so. I think, but it, I think there are quite a few people who just read it in print. There aren't many people who just read it online, but that might just be because of the choices of where I choose to publish it, to be honest. I could be a bit ambitious. But,
okay.
How do you get people to keep clicking back to your webcomic? I mean, I read a few webcomics, and some of them I thought, think, oh, I forgot about that one. I haven't read that one for a while. Mm. Is there anything that you use to get them to sort of click back?
To be honest, I'm not fantastic at that at the moment, but I think the best way is just through, I use Twitter like anything, and using social media to just be like, I'm here, I'm still here, look, here's something new, and trying to get people to share. Like, it's when I was doing my Kickstarter, looking at all the, trying to create content that people want to share. And I think, you know, I think that's the only way to keep people reading, especially like if you've got a standalone website that isn't on something like Tapastic or, you know, is it Tapastic? Is that how you say it?
It is.
Or, you know, websites like that. It's, you know, it's easier to use social media to share it, I suppose. But yeah.
Are there any other sort of, I mean, I know you use Reddit, don't you, Dan? Quite a lot.
Yeah. I don't get a lot of traction on there, if I'm honest. Sometimes like a page will kind of take off, but a lot of the time it doesn't really go anywhere. You do get some site hits from it though, so it's worth doing it just for that.
Is there anywhere else you can recommend to listeners, or you know, where it would be a good place?
If the two I've mentioned it before, but Ink Outbreak and My Comic Rocket, essentially they're kind of like a reading list, so you'd sign on for an account there. And you'd say, right, I like X, Y, and Z webcomics. And then that'll tell you when it's updated and how many new pages there are, and it'll bookmark it for you. So if you had a count on any one of them, you could list your webcomics on there.
How does it tell you? By an email or?
Well, I'm not sure, because I don't actually use the service. I've got my webcomics on there, but I just got them in a folder, like on my browser. But you go on there and it tells you, you like this one's updated, that one's updated, and I think it goes by date order of what's updated last, and you can binge it.
Essential webcomics are like that. I had a strip, I think it's still on there actually, I had a Barbarian strip on there for quite a while, and they were really good actually, really good at promoting our strips and stuff, you know.
Sarah, when you had this as a webcomic, had you already done a whole batch of pages, you had started it?
Yeah, that's the ideal, isn't it, really? To have like a batch so that if you ever slow up in your timetable, then you've got something to cover you. But to be honest, I tend to take a break between each chapter and then, you know, try and get ahead of the game a bit and then upload it.
I suppose because you've got chapters, you have that sort of advantage, I suppose, isn't it? Once you've told that bit of a story, it's like, it's going to take a small hiatus, then we'll be back for the next chapter.
Yeah, but rather, I think... sorry.
No, you carry on.
I was just going to say, like, going back to sharing stuff, I think it's a lot easier when you've just got strip content instead of, I don't know about you, but I find it a lot harder to try and sell a long running story. You know,
The long form stuff really is really hard because you need kind of investment in it. Whereas a strip, you can come in, you get the joke and then you're off again and people can share that.
Yeah, and it's a lot more easy to share. But saying that, like, did you see what Sarah Grady did with our Super Adventure? Gone absolutely...
No.
She's amazing. She's a really good artist. She's got... I've got a copy of her Rent Quest here. And she's really funny. Quite like, you know, it's quite good example of women in comics. Like all of her characters have hairy legs, which is just a little point. But I just think...
We're like that.
It's such a nice... Yeah. But you know, it's all these girls in skirts with little hairy legs, and it's just like, I don't know, she does really good like gag strips, or well, it's not really gag strips, but just it's her and her boyfriend and it's just called Our Super Adventure, and she's been doing it for a while and sharing it as a webcomic and posting it on Tumblr, getting loads of success, and her Kickstarter was overfunded by, she got like 16 grand for it, and she was asking for 2. The end of it, so it was absolutely amazing, and rightly so, it's a really good strip. But I just think that looking at it, I think a lot of stories like that are more easy to share rather than something that's longer, but doesn't mean we don't try.
Do you find the location helps as well though, like if there's like a I'm just saying there's a web comic, for instance, that's like very super British or very, very focused on one area. Yeah. You're cutting out the rest of the world because it's a web comic, isn't it? So everyone can see it. Mm. I mean, The Heart of Time works brilliantly because it doesn't suffer from, like, I know it's set in England, but there's no real, you know, you can be from anywhere in the world and pick it up. You're not lost on any real sort of references and stuff. Do you bear that in mind when you do stuff, or is it just let the story roll?
To be honest, I think it's more interesting when it is specific, because I think if you're doing like gag, if you're doing like jokes in a strip, like I was reading one, I can't remember the name of it, but it was translated from Norwegian into English, and they had to keep pointing out, oh, actually, this doesn't make sense because it's a pun in Norwegian, doesn't make sense. You know, I think stuff like jokes, I think it does have to be quite universal, but I think in terms of the storylines, I think it's much more interesting if it is specific and you just try and make it universal in the way that you tell it. I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't know. Because I think if you just try and make everything universal, it'll just become a bit bland because, you know...
You're pandering to too many. Yeah,
definitely. And I think...
It lacks character sometimes if you do that, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the stuff in issue one is quite local for Cardiff, and I think a lot of Cardiffians would read it and go, oh, St Mary Street, amazing, I know that, it looks like that, you know, but at the same time, people don't pick up on it.
Yeah, I'm not from Cardiff, but you know, I still really enjoyed the story for what it was, you know. It's not alienating in any way, shape or form.
It's weird when you mention that thing about kind of the translation. There was an article I read during the week for Japanese or Orientals reading Western comics, and there'd be like things that we would do, like the two fingers quotation marks, and that means nothing to them. So it was like one of about 10 which like said, well, this means this. I can't remember the other ones, but there were some really interesting ones where you think, well, it's obvious to us as a Western audience, but there's no, and obviously that goes the other way, like with a Norwegian joke, you don't get that pun.
And with Japanese manga especially, like, I think we've become quite used to Japanese manga tropes. But, you know, initially, they are so different. Like, there are so many gestures and so much stuff that is just not... You don't usually see it in Western comics, even now. But, you know, definitely.
There's, like, shortcuts and stuff, isn't there? There's stuff like the little bit of perspiration. And, you know, I remember when I started reading manga in the 80s and... I thought, what does that mean? I don't understand what this all means, you know. But I think as opposed to geographical sort of differences, I think age differences as well. I think different ages of people, because the youngsters are so sort of computer literate and social media literate, that there's so much stuff that, you know, that you don't understand. You know, I had to work out what NSFW meant the other day. I didn't understand. There's all these little sort of phrases.
A trial by fire? Isn't it? Yeah. NSFW, what does this mean? Oh,
it was from an email.
There's a large zip folder.
Shortcuts. I haven't got a clue what this. I mean, I'm in my late 20s now, you know, so it's sort of, I don't really know.
We'll say nothing. Carry on, Tony.
I was wondering a bit, Sarah, about your influences, because I can see some manga in your work. Is it you know, sort of artist do you look to?
I think that's from my childhood, to be honest. I used to watch the most shit good cartoons ever. So I used to be obsessed with Dragon Ball Z, and it's the worst. It's the best, but it's the worst. It's so bad, but so great. So I think I grew up trying to draw those really like muscular guys with, you know, which you don't really see in it now, but I was really into like Rumiko Takahashi, who does all the like Ranma and all that kind of stuff. So I think when you look at, you're saying about my portfolio, like my portfolio illustration stuff is really what I kind of tried to move away from doing that kind of stuff when I was in uni.
Okay.
But now I've kind of gone back to what I used to like as a kid, which maybe isn't, you know, it's a bit self-indulgent. But I would say that was one of the biggest influences, really. Sorry. I do have more. I could that's be okay. able to reference more people. But...
Yeah, that's okay. What other sort of, do you read much mainstream stuff to you as well? Or do you read any of the Big Two or Image or Dark Horse or anything?
I think I'm going to, I think I've annoyed a lot of people listening with the Doctor Who thing, but I think I'm going to annoy more people even now, because I'm not really that into, outside of small press, because, you know, I have an interest in small press, I'm not really that interested in superheroes. And I know that the big to do other stuff, and I enjoy the other stuff. It's just, you know, looking at, like, I tried to pick up Spider-Gwen because I was like, right, good start. I want to start reading proper, you know, new Marvel, and I just couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't. And it starts off, and it was basically, right, so have you read all the rest of the Spider-Universe? Okay, great. Here's the new stuff. And it was like, no, I have no idea what you're on about. Yeah. But, I do enjoy saying that. I have really enjoyed Miss Marvel at the moment. Right. And Rat Queens, and
I love Rat Queens.
Good,
it's awesome.
It's just, there's just too much time in between each issue.
And
I did really get into Fables at one point, but
Fables is great. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I still need to read the last issue, and that's it. I think I'm holding on. I'm leaving it for a little while until I'm ready.
Yeah. Until you're emotionally ready. Yeah.
Since the end of an era, but Wicked and Divine as well, I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, Leah mentioned that last week. I must catch up on that. Yeah,
really good, and it's beautiful as well. I just think, like, the color choices are really nice because I think they worked on. Did you read Phonograph or Phonograph?
Yeah, in fact, Chris Wildgoose, we had on a few weeks ago, has got a story in, I think, Phonogram 4. I'm going to say, yeah,
oh, yes. Right.
Yeah, you mentioned that, didn't you? Yeah,
for that
reason. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah,
because you can really see the music influences in it. It's just, it's great. Really good.
I was going to ask Sarah, how did you find the whole Kickstarter process? Good,
stressful.
Stressful.
Really stressful. It was great. I've got a lot out of it, and it was, you know, I think it was very exciting and humbling, and, you know, it was just a whole rainbow of emotions, but at the same time it was just a month of stress. I think some people just seem to have done it a lot less stressful than I have. I think I'm quite a nervous person, but it was definitely worth it. But I needed about 3 months off after it, seriously. It didn't take 3 months.
A common theme.
You did well on it. You made your amount, didn't you? And, you know, I remember, I think I saw you at the London Super Comic Con, did I? And you were giving out the books and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think, yeah. No, it did well, and I delivered on time, which a lot of people struggle with, you know, actually fulfilling it. So happily, all of my homework beforehand had worked out, which is great, because I'd heard so many horror stories about, like, oh, the postage was a grand extra. And I was like, so, you know, I'd made up for that. But
Yeah.
And it's a lovely looking book as well. It's a great little book.
Yeah. I love that cover, really distinctive cover. Oh, really shit. Nice,
took ages. I'm not one of those people who do the cover first, or I'm not that great at pin-ups and that kind of thing, so I agonised over that for a while, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm glad.
Why do you think you're not so great at pin-ups?
It's just the fact, I don't know, I find it easier doing a comic page than doing a pin-up, and I think what I've come up with, you know, the illustrations that I've done for it, I am happy with, but it took a long time to get to a stage where, oh, I'm happy with that. It's just the idea of summing up a whole story, well, for covers, I suppose, rather than pinups, you know, especially for the book, because it had to sum up the whole book, and, you know, I'm getting it on Amazon and stuff. I wanted it to be like, this sums up the story, or, you know, I find that much more difficult than doing a page.
Well, you've got a character in Amelia that's such a striking visual image. You know, I mean, she is tailor made for cosplay, left, right, and center. I think.
Yeah.
So you got to focus on her, haven't you? Because you can't do it as the pug. I don't know how many people have cosplayed as the pug. Although Gertrude, do you have a pug?
So, no, I don't. It's because I don't have a pug.
So that's how Gertrude.
I had someone in a convention come up to me once and be like, so are you living through your characters? And I was like, you know, is this a self-insert? Like, you know, when people try and wrong-foot you at conventions and you're just like, right, okay. And I was just like, well, Amelia isn't me, but I want her pug. You know, so yeah, that's just the one of the ways.
In terms of a sidekick, Gertrude is a fantastic sidekick to have. Because, you know, and the thing is, it's a sidekick that doesn't take over the story. It doesn't become bigger than the actual hero.
She does her own little adventures, her own thing.
And fun to draw.
So. Yeah, Just I find when I write it now, I have to do so, you know, when you, because I write the script first. That's I've never really worked well doing the imagery first. I always write the script first.
Yeah.
And going through it, I find I have to do like a Gertrude read through now, because a lot of the time it's like, oh, Nathan and Arthur and Amelia are going to do this, blah, blah, blah. Oh, shit. What is Gertrude doing? Oh, crap. Oh, crap. It's like going through and writing out exactly where Gertrude is. Because sometimes I'll get to the stage where I'm drawing the page and it's like, didn't I actually write Gertrude in? Shit.
I think Gertrude, how many times have we said Gertrude in the past five minutes? Gertrude. Gertrude is probably the best example of the evolution of your artwork from page one to where you are now as well.
Cool.
You know, it's progressed so much. It looks so more fluid and like, you know, she's got more of an animated sort of cartoon sort of feel. But because of that, almost looked more like a pug. if that makes sense, you know. And also you draw sketches and stuff on the, you know, you've done, like, you must have to draw it all the time for people. So have you in your mind had to create some sort of visual shorthand for drawing a pug?
Oh, definitely. Yep. Yep. Like, basically draw a fat rectangle. Work from there and then do the goggly eyes. And then you can't really go far wrong after that.
But the eyes have it, though, don't they? When it comes to drawing animals and things like
pugs,
that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And working that's on a... cool, though. I mean, you've hit the kind of popular pug period, haven't you? Because
I don't know.
Mike Norton's Battle Pug is brilliant. I love that comic.
Oh, I love that. It's so good.
I'm wearing a Battle Pug t-shirt right at this moment. I'll put a picture out on the Facebook page. Yeah, it's a cracking comic.
Oh, I love it. It's just a mental idea. I think it's one of those things where when people pitch it to you, it's just yes, I'm sold.
It's a web comic sort of titan as well, isn't it? I know it's not a titan of the meme game.
No, it's but
certainly in terms of web comics, that, you know, it's one of the top ones, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That's still making me laugh, titans of meme. What a wank. Oh my god.
Is that what he called himself? What was that on? Because I tried to Google it just now. And
I don't know. I think they're referencing whatever these meme creators, you know.
Seriously, I really hope that's what his name is.
Titan of the meme game.
Titan of memes.
Wow.
But
don't see their page too much. It's not the same name as the page in question, is it?
No. Yeah. And you don't want to check them out anyway, because they're...
No.
Nah,
yeah, I don't want to give, you know,
wankers.
Wankers.
Go to link. Don't give them any.
Back to your process, though, sir. We first met at Melksham last year.
Nice view, can it?
Hey,
what?
What?
And we did it. We did a small little panel, didn't we? Ian Matthews. Yeah. It was us two and Jamie Lambert from Dexter's Half Dozen talking about how we create our small press comics and write, isn't it? And everyone had a different way of writing. And the thing that fascinated me is you, even though you do everything on the Heart of Time yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, what?
I pay this guy to do everything. No. I just take all the photos.
Yeah. Yes, of course I do everything myself. Shut up, Joel.
But you do everything, and yet still you write a full script for the Heart of Time, don't you?
Yes.
I thought that was quite unusual, because a lot of the people that do similar to what myself and, I guess, Dan, you don't write full script. You script it, but it's not as...
It's not completely full. Like, there's a little bit of play on the page when it goes on there.
So, Sarah, why do you find that that's best for you, you know, to write full scripts?
I don't know. I think it's just the way my brain works, to be honest. I don't know. I really enjoy
writing. Drop the mic. My brain works like this.
My brain. My brain isn't very good with pictures. It's good for words. as you can obviously tell. I don't know. I really enjoy writing dialogue. And I think, I don't know. It's just, I find it easier to approach a story, writing it all out, and then trying to get the imagery to work with what I've written and then editing back. I don't know, because I write a full script, but I don't always stick to it. But
Do you do a lot of panel descriptions? Do you do much of that in the...
I should do, and I wish I could say yes, because I'm trying to, you know, write more comic-based scripts. But for the scripts that are just for me, not really. I tend to write, like, in my, I think I tend to write almost like a film script, which I know is like a really stupid thing to do for comics, but as it's just for me, I quite enjoy to write in that way. And I tend to write about how they're feeling. And then I sketch the hell, I print it all out and I sketch the hell out of it, you know, and, you know, talk about, you know, I think I like to do the writing and the imagery and keep it separate in my mind and then put it all together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in regards to the kind of overall arc of the story, have you got like a set amount of issues you're aiming for to cover the whole thing?
Yeah, 15, really.
15, okay.
I want to keep it to between 3 and 4 volumes, because I think anything more than that is a bit excessive. So, for myself, anyway, you know. I think any more than that, and I'd go a little bit mad working on it just by myself, get a little bit twitchy.
Have you got any other sort of ideas you want to progress as well, away from the Heart of Time?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm working on some pitches at the moment.
Oh, really?
So I kind of... As the Heart, don't get me wrong, I love doing the Heart of Time, and I really enjoy, although it's really stressful, I enjoy doing everything myself because it's quite a learning experience, you know. I'm getting it on Amazon, which is really exciting, and stuff like that. So I'm really enjoying that, but I'd really want to work with a publisher or with someone, or just to collaborate with someone, just to really, I don't know, just so I don't have to do everything myself for the rest of my life. Quite nice. But so I am working on a couple of ideas.
Is that just you writing, or is that
writing and designing, and then, you know, seeing how it goes from there? Trying to pitch it to a couple of people, see, you know, I don't know whether if I pitch it to a publisher, if they want to get another artist involved or something, that's cool as well. But you know, it's just easier for me to do all the visual referencing myself at the moment. But yeah, it's got a lot of dogs in it. You won't be disappointed. A lot of dogs.
Yeah, I've got a dog.
Oh, yeah. What dog have you got?
He's half Jack Russell and half Corgi.
He's a Jorgie. He's a Geordie.
Oh my, don't say that. And he's called Stan.
Stan, cool.
Yeah. I'm going to send you a picture while we're talking.
Yes. This is the thing. Because I have pugs on my table at conventions. I see so many pictures of people's dogs. Loads of pictures, and you think I'd be a bit like, okay, go away now, buy something or go away, but no, every single picture. Oh, it's amazing.
Has that brought in more people to your table, because you've got this lovely cute character, you know? Do you find that people walk past and go, oh, look at that, and then they come over to your table?
Definitely. Yes. Though, I'm quite shameful, I know. I've made like a little standee of Gertrude now, and you know, I don't try and like force it on people, but it does pull people in.
I think it's the best way. You've got this character that as soon as people see it, they're going to be drawn towards it, so why not? I mean, you've done a standee of it, you know, that's not showing it in people's faces. That's like, as soon as people see that on the table, they're going to be like, oh my god, and then walk over.
So it has backfired once or twice. I think I've probably told you this story before, but there's a guy, I think it was at MCM ages ago, and he was looking through the comic, and I was pitching it to him, and you know, I did it like the way I said it earlier, you know, I do the whole pitch and at the end I go, oh, and her sidekick's a pug. And he literally like opens the comic, he was reading through the comic and he looked at me and he just went, I'm anti-pug, and then dropped the comic and walked off.
Oh, God.
And he was completely like, I don't know whether this is like a wind-up or something, but he was completely deadpan and he just left. I was like, whoa. I'm anti-pug. You know, I mean, bastards.
That's really odd.
I mean, you know, fair enough if you don't like a certain breed of animal. Don't be a dick bag.
I feel like I should make a sign with that, you know, the little one that you can just hold up. Like, don't be a dick bag. Just for any situation.
Yeah. To be fair, been to a couple of MCMs and that kind of behaviour doesn't entirely surprise me, kind of the crowd it draws. So.
Yeah. It's the thing is, MCM is just so massive. Like, it's something ridiculous, like 170,000 people. Just statistically, there's going to be more assholes than in other conventions because there's more people. Yeah. You know, it's really great. I really enjoy it. And there are lovely people there as well. But
well, whenever we do this show, at least 75% of the people on it are assholes. So.
It's up to you to decide where the quota lies.
Speaking of conventions, though, because like you do this webcomic, I know you've got some print versions, but what has the convention circuit been like, you know, especially when you were just starting out with the show? Did you jump straight into conventions, or did you wait until you had a bit more to sort of show and have at your table?
I jumped straight in. I had someone approach me a couple of weeks ago who had been to Cardiff. My first convention was Cardiff. I think it's like CICE, C-I-C.
Yeah.
That was my first one. And I hadn't actually even been to a convention before, and I printed off like just the first six pages of the comic on my printer. I had like four copies, like really shoddily printed and stapled together, and then I'd made badges and things, and it was just, it's basically like so homemade everything. But it was really good. Like, I still got a good, it just, aside from the fact that it was quite terribly presented, it was really good feedback. And I had someone approach me, I think it was the last MCM I did. He was like, yeah, I bought your first comic, you know. I was like, oh yeah, issue one. No, that 5-page one you sold at Cardiff. And I was like, oh god, just take free comics, I can do so much better now, please just take everything. Oh god. But they came out for more, so you know. Oh, it must have been okay, you know. But yeah. But
after going to Melksham like recently, a couple of weeks ago, the kind of everyone's game is so high when you get in the small press stands now. It's kind of, you really need to kind of be up there. But obviously that's well in your past now. But I was kind of honestly surprised at the level of professionalism that people have on their tables nowadays.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah.
It's just, the market's kind of exploded though, isn't it? I think there's so many more. It's great because there are just like, there's so much more variety in, you know, in indie press at the moment. But at the same time, like, I would hate, I did that was about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, I'd be a bit shy doing it now, just because like, there are so many, it's just the level of printing that you can get now is just amazing. I don't know,
but the heart of time still stands out by
definitely
a mile, I think yeah, you know.
Yeah,
especially with the setup you've got on the table as well, you know. Now it's not just printed out copies, you've got books, you've got badges, you've got a nice lovely looking banner, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of stuff through down the tubes, and John, just because he's quite sort of laconic, and he's a good guy, John, but he's been about comics for years, and he sort of sends stuff to me and I review it and he says thanks, and very occasionally he says great art or something like that. And for yours, he did say, he said, oh, I really like the art in that, it's really nice, which is, you know, just shows the quality of it. It's a great little book.
I've considering writing short, this is a bit depressing, sorry. I'm considering, in advance, a little bit of a disclaimer, I'm considering doing one page comics because I've been a bit inspired by it. Do you know Dani Abram? She does Worry War.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I loved Worry War.
Brilliant book.
You haven't heard of, if anyone listening hasn't heard of it, it's basically about her struggle with anxiety, and it's a diary comic. It's really nice. And I really suffer with imposter syndrome, and I genuinely, my brain is terrible. Like, when someone says this is good, it's like, no, just be nice. It's not good. Yeah, you know, it's not good.
A lot of us get that, though, Sarah. Really, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'll come with the confidence of people loving your book, because it is a good book, mate. You know, I think we all worry that there's secretly everyone knows that we're no good. You know, secretly everyone knows.
Everyone.
But it's not true, though, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I just think, like, a lot of the time, people's brains are just set up against them to just be like, you're a success, but you know deep down that you're shit, right? And it's like, oh my god, like, what the hell? It's just a complete...
I don't know.
But the thing is, it's because you care about what you do. It's not like, right, I'm just going to make this and sell this and see how much money I make. You're caring about the work that you're putting out and the work you're going to do moving forward, which is why people should check it out.
Yeah.
And why we invited you on here.
I've got terrible...
Where can we go and check it out?
Oh, that's a good point. You can check it online. It's www.heartoftime.co.uk. And you can also follow me on Twitter at heart_of_time, which is a bit of a mouthful. But and also, as I just said, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a big push because the book is now up on Amazon. You can buy the printed version on Amazon.
So it's on now, is it? Is it on Amazon as you speak?
Yeah, it is. I've been struggling with it for ages. I don't know if anyone has tried to get stuff on Amazon.
No. Tell us a little bit about that process. Is it a real difficult one to do?
Or just a little bit of an ask, because you have to be registered as self-employed, obviously, and they have to check all of these details, like back and forth. Like my application was refused so many times, I had to keep going back and forth. And then, as soon as you've applied to be an Amazon seller, you have to make sure you have an ISBN and that's, you know, it's a lot of back and forth, basically. But once it's done, it's up there. It annoys me a little bit that, it's not listed properly, which I'm hoping to sort out tomorrow, but it's up there now, finally. So, it's a bit complicated.
Brilliant. Lots of ways to get the book then. Which you really should, because it's a cracking little book.
And you got many appearances coming up at all?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's going to MCM Scotland, Glasgow, at the end of the month.
Cool.
So I'll be there with...
Nope.
What? Guys! I'll be there with Anastasia Catriss, which should be fun.
Oh, yeah, she's cool. Awesome. We featured her on Down the Tubes recently as well, yeah.
She'll be there with...
She's done some Marvel work, isn't she? She's done some Marvel trading card work, isn't she?
Is it DC, I think?
Oh, DC, is it?
Or is she doing Marvel as well? She might be doing Marvel too. But she does sketch cards, so she recently...
Yeah.
So she'll be doing... But she'll be there with her book, Cirque du Monde. That should be nice. Cool. And then after that, MCM London. Hooray!
Not there either.
No.
Are you doing...
We're doing Nottingham.
Mm. I didn't get into that.
What do we mean?
Because it's just too late notice, because they just sell out. Is that the MCM? Is it an MCM?
No, it's just not a Comic Con. It's an indie one, sort of charity one, yeah.
They posted up something during the week that they're going to have to knock some small press tables on the head.
That's nice.
Oh, that's ice. Okay.
No, nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't Nottingham. No, they're encouraging people. I think they've still got a couple of tables left.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Nice have had to go to a smaller venue, haven't they? They've had to go from Bedford Corn Exchange to a rugby club, so they've had to knock a couple of sort of lower the amount of small press and back issue sellers.
Shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. Yeah,
that's shame.
That's not so nice. Sorry.
See what you did there. Nice. When you say something, Dan, it means something.
Are you doing Leamington Spa, Sarah?
Sorry?
Are you doing Leamington Spa?
I don't think so. The next one after that is there's one in Cardiff just for the day for Christmas.
Oh, that's Sice are doing a Christmas one on the 12th of December, which I can't make. But are you doing Thought Bubble this year?
No, I didn't get into that. That's a shame. But you can't do it. I'm tempted to go up as a punter though, because it's so much fun.
It's a good laugh.
It's really nice. And it always seems to have artists as well as obviously small press people who are amazing, but the guests are always a lot more up my street, so that's quite looking forward to that, because last year they had the people from Wicked and Divine, which I just made a big embarrassment of myself. I love you, you're amazing. And then left and they were all a bit bewildered, but
did you do the events now that we're kind of talking
as we're speaking about events? We're having such a lovely chat, we completely forgot about the structure of the show.
I'll give a little tease out for a competition first off. We've got a competition that's coming up in the next couple of weeks, which is a cracker. It's Leah Moore, who was our brilliant guest last week, great company, has started Electrocomics, which is a digital comic for your iPad at the moment. It's going to go to Android. You can add comics for free, and it's great. And it's got work by Alan Moore and Peter Hogan and Garth Ennis, Colleen Duran, Nicola Scott. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And we loved it last week, and I've been reading it again this week. But she's given us some prizes, which I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they might have a signature on them by a relative of hers. Let's put it that way. if you keep your ears out next week, we're going to run a little competition, and it might involve drinking. So I'll give you a little tease about it. Okay. Yeah. Events wise, there's a few events. They seem to be all conventions. We're like convention mad at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah.
So 19th of September, which is next weekend, at the aforementioned Nice, which is at the Bedford Blues Rugby Ground. And guests at that are Brian K. Vaughan, Alan Davis, Barry Kitson, Gene Hart, like incredible guest list. Gene Hart, Goran Parloff, who I love. Goran Parloff is the king of art at the moment for me. Glenn Fabry, many, many more. It's not the usual place. So have a look at the website and go and find out. Then after that, I'm going to be at the New York Comic Con, which I know we've got quite a lot of American people who listen to this. So if you're going, then make sure you drop me a tweet or something and come and say hello, because I'd love to meet up with you. I'll be at Mark Lamming's and Brian Vander's table in Artist Alley, which is at I6. Both great couple of artists. Brian's a future guest of ours and Mark's a past guest of ours.
Yeah.
So I come along for some sexy sexcapades I've written in this thing. come and pull Mark Lamming off a green cosplayer. He likes that.
Come and do what to him?
Pull Lamming off a green cosplayer, because he'll be attached to one somewhere in a club or something. You know what it's like.
Double check that.
So 24 days to go. I've got a countdown on my phone. That's how much of a geek I am around the New York Comic Con, which is Javits Center. But they don't need advertising. There's enough people go to that. After that, the 17th, following weekend, we are at Leamington Spa Comic Con, which is at the Assembly, which is, I'll take it, it's the Assembly Halls of some kind, in Leamington Spa. That runs between 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Under 13-year-olds get in for free, and they've got some great guests. They've got David Lloyd, who I'm a huge fan of, obviously V Vendetta is so good, Simon Furman and Lee Bradley. And I think there is a little rumour that we might be doing a panel. Is that right?
We might indeed. Or we might be doing a live show from there. Who knows?
Oh, my God. What is that about?
Oh, I don't know about live. We'll be there.
And I will be... Vince has got a table and I will be his booth babe. So there you go.
Oh, God.
Jeebus.
I'm glad I haven't eaten. Yeah, no, it's going to be a good show. It's a small little show, but it's I think it's going to be a fantastic day, actually.
So. It's a one-day show, isn't it? I
think. Yeah.
One day. Yeah. So it should be fun.
We'll be talking more about it as it approaches.
Yeah, it's not far, mate. Three or four weeks to go. Twenty fourth of October is the Nottingham Comic Con we talked about a minute ago, which is at the Nottingham Conference Centre, Goldsmith Street, NG14BY. Tickets are £8. Kids go for free. You can find the website nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk. Guest the Dan McDade, brilliant. Mark Lamming, hate him. 2000. Chris Wildgoose, who we also hate. Duncan Fregado's there. Dean Beattie, we talked about earlier. Roger Langridge, loads of other people. I'll be there. I think I'm doing a couple of panels. I'm hoping that I'm going to be doing the Duncan Fregado one, do a bit of a retrospective of his career. So he's a great artist, incredible artist. And there's going to be a lot of artist sketching, small press, back issues. Yeah, it's a really comic-centric comic convention, as they all should be these days. Great fun. So cool. Yeah. There you go. That's all the events, geezer.
I was going to give a shout out to Vince, because Red Mask from Mars issue one got approved to run on Comixology.
Yay! Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Yay. Yay. Yeah, the red mask is available on Comixology, which made my week. I mean, we've previously talked about how long the process of putting your books on Comixology takes. But it's digital comics. So, and also we're small press, so we're used to being patient, I think. It went online today, and well, not today, but this week on Wednesday on New Comic Book Day, so you can get it from there. And also I was quite chuffed because one of the co-founders of Comixology actually tweeted and said the Red Mask is going to be perfect for an action figure.
We've been saying that, and a cartoon. Get on that, the animation rights, get on it.
Yeah, so that really made my day, actually. So
That was really nice of him, mate, wasn't it? Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and as well as that, the new Vanguard, isn't it?
Yeah,
cheers.
we're helping each other.
Going on here.
Yeah, Vanguard issue 4 is now ready to purchase on Comixology, so go check that out.
So there are 4 issues of Vanguard that you can pick up right now from Comixology.
Yep, more in the works. I think I'm going to release the first 5 on there as like a kind of special bargain deal, so it'd be cheaper than buying all 4 or 5 in one go.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah.
If you keep reading it, you might get a sexy creature that joins up, and it's the 3 of us into sort of some sexy amorphous mass.
Yeah. Oh. Indeed.
Yeah.
God.
But also, a shout out to a friend of the show, Rob Jones, because he got one of the top 50 indie creators on the Outhouses website. So he got
nice work, Rob.
And he's an up.
Yes, I think we're having him on soon, aren't we?
Yeah, we are having him on soon. So
that's gonna be a brilliant show.
Batten down the hatches and buckle up, because it's probably gonna be mental.
Also, Another two quick mentions. Daniel Sharp, I mentioned him a couple of weeks. He's the author of the webcomics, The Demon Archives. He did an article previously about getting the most out of your comic, like advertising for free. He's done the follow-up and getting the most out of advertising for paid. I'm not sure if I mentioned that before, but I've reread it this week and it's cracking. It's really, if you're going to spend money to promote your webcomic, you should check out that article before doing so.
Oh, brilliant. Well, obviously I'll put the link up in the show notes and on the Podbean website. So, oh, brilliant. Good read.
Brilliant.
Any more shout-outs?
Ken Reynolds, who's a big listener to the show, and I've been chatting to him about a little bit of a project he's got on the go, which we will probably talk about soon. But Ken sent me a couple of emails recently, so I might be dipping my toe into it as well. So we'll see what happens there. But he's a good guy. Yeah.
Ooh. Nice. Right, well, let's move to the recommendations section of the show, shall we? Okay, that smooth segue.
Woo!
No one will have any idea of the chaos this past couple of 90 minutes today. Tony, what do you want to recommend?
After we recommended Strange Nation a few weeks ago, I don't know if you remember that, the one with the sort of the X-Files-y kind
of... Sasquatch.
That's it, that's the one. Really great. The writer, Paul Allo, sent me a digital copy of his new book, which is called Tet, T-E-T. It actually came out on Wednesday, and I bought a solid copy of it, if you see what I mean, because I liked it so much. Really, really great. It's set in Vietnam in 1968, mostly. There's a few flash forwards to the present day, and it's about a soldier from the US called Eugene, who's after a very sort of horrific and bloody battle. He joins the military police type thing and investigates a murder of a friend of his, a colleague and a friend. And it's got a bit of a sort of strand about he falls in love with a local girl and people don't understand it. And, you know, and that's going somewhere. And there's a real mystery building up into it about things that he didn't know about his friend and the fact in the future doesn't appear to be with this woman. And it's really good. It's a 4-issue miniseries. It's put out by Comic Experience. And it's the first issue came out this week and your comic book day this week. You can find Paul at www.clockworkcomic.com. He's on Twitter at Paul Allor. The art is sort of quite minimalistic, heavily coloured, very sort of reminiscent of sort of gritty Vietnam and this sort of thing. He's by a guy called Paul Tucker. And you can find him at tuckercomicsart.blogspot.com. And the comic, as I say, is put out by Comics Experience, which is comicsexperience.com. It's well worth a look. Really, really well done and very well written, I have to say.
Oh, nice one.
Cool.
What about you, Dan?
Talking of Ken Reynolds, he sent in some work. I came across it on Twitter, but also realised it'd been emailed in. A comic called Cognition.
Really brilliant. Good.
It's heavy kind of black and white artwork. The artwork's great, done by Sam Bentley. The issue Zero is actually available for free, which you can go to facebook.com/cognitioncomic and download the first issue Zero for free, and they're going to do a Kickstarter in early 2006. So keep an eye out for that. I can't recommend downloading this and reading it. It's great. It's really great.
Yeah, it's a great.
Yeah, it's got a real sort of BPRD sort of feel to it, isn't it? Yeah. I loved it.
It's sort of like set. They go around kind of investigating kind of supernatural events for Boss, is it?
Yeah.
I can't remember how that breaks down.
Secrets. Oh, I've got it written down somewhere, but yeah, I know what you mean. British Occult Secret Service, there you go.
Yeah.
Really unique looking sort of robot as well, isn't it?
It's
kind of like stand out.
Half demon, half human, which kind of shares its consciousness with a rat or a mouse.
Yeah.
I can't kind of really
classic.
Do it. Yeah, can't do it justice.
Oh, not that again.
But read it, check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes so you can download it for free.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that we were reading at the same time, weren't we, and messaging each other saying, this is really good. Who's going to talk about this week? And and you won. Yeah, no, really good.
And did a bad job.
Oh, dear. Anyway, as for me, I got caught up on Awful Comics by Rob Cureton. Good old Rob. I thought you know. Autobiographical webcomic that you can read online for free. Written and drawn by Rob, and it basically chronicles moments in the day-to-day life that he has as a designer living in North London. They're page strips, and they're updated every Friday. They're black and white, with some nice textures and colours going on as well. He's got a real sort of unique, sort of quirky visual style as well, which works perfectly. And he just talks about whether it's amusing times like chilling out with his girlfriend or his nan embarrassing him in public or just funny little moments at comic conventions. You know, he charts every moment with lovely comic timing, I think. They can be just sort of, they're like one page sort of gags, if you know what I mean, of his day-to-day life and what he goes on. And they're well worth checking out. He's got a vast library of them, which I managed to, and we were talking about earlier, web comics, you let them build up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you get through them. And I got through a whole load recently. And he's also got, he's got some printed copies at shows. Sarah, he has printed stuff at the shows, doesn't he?
Yes,
he's got
yes, definitely.
Yeah.
He's got quite a few issues now.
Yeah. He's one of the creators left on my list to pick up printed work of. Yeah. I've got some sort of weird serial killer like list of people I'm checking off at every show.
I've been looking yeah. for you.
So, Rob, I am after you. like Buffalo Bill. No.
Oh,
put it in the basket.
Please. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Yeah, definitely check this out. They're properly funny. Sometimes one-page strips, the humour can fall flat on its face, but Rob's got great comic timing, and it's, you know, works perfectly with his style. You can check them out at awfulcomics.co.uk. Like I say, you see him at quite a lot of conventions. On the whole look of his webpage, and the art of the book and the humour and everything looks great. He's designed his webpage to fit in with the style of everything. It's not like he's just posted it on some website and then hasn't sort of
shaped it. Yeah.
He's done it to look, everything's in that style of his strip, so it works perfectly, and it's all black and white and looks lush. Awfulcomics.co.uk. He'll also be exhibiting at MCM London, which is where Sarah will be as well, on the 23rd to the 25th of October, and Thought Bubble.
I'll warn him that you're coming for him.
Oh, no. I won't be at London, but he is going to Thought Bubble, so I'm going to hunt him out like some sort of weirdo.
Stalk him.
And finally pick up some of his books, because it's well worth checking out. I'm always like, if you have this, Sarah, you walk away from your table to pick up some books, and the more people you get to know, the less time you have to pick up the books that you want. It becomes more of a social event, stepping away from your table.
I need to have a bit of a timer on me as well.
Yeah.
I came to get your book and you weren't there, and it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do you fly solo?
Social.
Do you have someone with you at your table a lot of the time, or do you fly solo?
Yeah.
Don't answer that question.
God.
It just sounded really creepy, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit creepy. Yeah.
A little bit creepy. Are you alone? Are you alone?
Well, this week I'm the creepy one. Last week I was the old man. You know, what am I going to be next? What am I going to be next week?
Fully degenerating.
Basically, the creepy old man.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so back to Rob. You know, check out his stuff at awfulcomics.co.uk. And you can also pick up copies of his books from his store if you're on the other side of the pond and if you can't make it to these shows. comicsy.co.uk/awfulcomics. Well worth checking out. And Rob, I promise I'm going to pick up some of your stuff. I swear, don't hurt me.
About yourself, Sarah?
I mentioned Sarah Grayley earlier. Yeah, she's brilliant. She does a webcomic called Our Super Adventure, but I'd like to recommend Rent Quest in particular. It's about a girl who goes on an adventure trying to basically become a freelance adventurer and earn her rent. It's really funny. Her roommate is a man who just turns into, I think it's 8 cats. Yeah. No, 5 different cats. Just, you know, just because you can. And it's really great. I really recommend it. You can read it online and you can buy a print copy as well, just from sarahgrayley.com. And also, I think I have to recommend my friend Sian, who I always share tables with. So Sian Jefferson, she writes the Book of Faye. Met me at conventions, you usually meet Sian Jefferson too. She's really, it's really great. A really nice, like, adventure of, again, a girl. A girl going on an adventure. I think there's a theme with the comics that I read and write. But anyway, who stumbles across a fire demon and hijinks ensue. Really great. Cool. If you, she hasn't got a dedicated website for it, but if you Google Sian Jefferson and the Book of Faye,
I had a chance because at Cardiff Expo earlier this year. I was next to you guys, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was directly. Oh, what did you say about that for?
Please.
I forgot about that. I'd wiped it from my brain.
Yeah.
Shower. God, it's the creepy old man again.
Ooh.
No. Yeah, and I had a chance to pick up that book, the first book of Fae, and it's a really lovely little book, actually. I mean, it's an easy. We hate that easy comparisons, but the look of her style is. I kind of want to say Adventure Time in some ways. It's got this sort of real sort of animated sort of look to it. Lovely, lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. So well worth checking out. So there we go, folks.
Brilliant. Nice one.
You survived another episode, and Sarah, you survived the past couple of hours.
No, it's really fun.
Cool.
Sorry if
you're rambling. Oh, bless.
Keep up the good work on the book.
Yeah.
Been interested to see where it goes.
Yeah. Are you having a break at the moment before it starts the next one, or when does the next bit start?
Issue 5 is starting tomorrow online.
So brilliant.
So, timing, actually, yeah.
Timing.
So when you listen to this, folks, go check out The Heart of Time. Get caught up.
Hopefully, if everything goes to plan, it should start to update tomorrow.
Time Travelling Vespers and Pug's Called Gertrude. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't read this comic.
What's bad about that? Nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unless you're anti-Pug, in which case this is...
Pug racist.
Yeah, if you're an anti-Pug Titan meme of the meme game...
If you're a meme of Titan, fuck right off.
Oh dear.
Yeah. No, God bless you, Sarah, for coming on, because
we've
all been really feisty this week, so
didn't intend to be, it just worked out.
Yeah. It's obviously your influence. Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed this. I had to put in another dig before I left. I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, there are several different ways you can get in touch with us, and please do get in touch with us and let us know what you think. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. You can email any events or books you think we should check out at tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. On Twitter, as you can tell, that's Tony's email.
It's me.
Yeah. On Twitter, follow us. Yeah, email whatever you want to that one. No, better not, actually. You can follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, and on Facebook, if you search for Awesome Comics Podcast, we'll be on there. If you're listening to us on the Podbean website, this is awesomecomics.podbean.com. And if you've listened to us on iTunes, give us a review.
Yeah, we had some crackers, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much to all those people that left nice reviews, or said, just in general, anyone who said nice things about this show.
Or just bloody listened, to be fair.
Yeah,
anyone who's listened, God bless you.
I'd like to thank my mom.
My mum and Elvis. Without them, none of this would be possible. Very much, leave a review, let us know what you think. It's well worth it. So, as for where you catch us individually on Twitter, Tony?
I'm on Twitter at Ezohyz, which is E-Z-O-H-Y-Z, or you can catch me in the reviews and the events bits at Down the Tubes, which is well worth a look. John's a great guy.
Senor Butcher?
My Twitter is at Vanguard Comic, and you can read all 11 issues of Vanguard for free at vanguardcomic.com.
Well worth checking out. My Twitter is at Jester Diablo, and I always forget to plug my comic, so check it out at theredmaskfrommars.com and on Comixology. Hey! Sarah, one more time, where can people find you?
On Twitter.
Online, not in general.
Yeah, don't tell him.
So my address is please don't find my house. It's you can find the comic on www.heartoftime.co.uk, and I'm most frequently on Twitter, which is at @heart_of_time. But just a bit of a mouthful. That's where it is.
Brilliant. Thank you very much again for joining us, Sarah. And
Sarah.
Yeah, for all you people out there, thanks for listening. Have a great week. And from Dan, Tony, Sarah, and myself, stay awesome.
Hey.
See ya.
Bye. Tony.